Well, good morning, everyone. I had to think as I was sitting there, at least you're not going to forget the object up here today. I look a little different than just a regular man standing up here with my arm in a bit of a sling. So maybe that'll help you remember the words that I share as well. So welcome. God bless you for being here. It's good to have my brother-in-law Adam and his Rosalie and their family with us today. So thank you for being here with us. try to do this one-handed up here. If you don't mind, I might pray again just to ask the Lord for direction in my heart. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day that you have given to us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come together with your people this morning, Lord, to sing songs of praises, Lord, and lift up our hearts and worship to a holy God who truly in tenderness you sought us, Lord. Oh, we can't comprehend that this morning. Our hearts are humbled, Lord, that the God of heaven would humble himself and become a man and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that we may have life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to share the words that you want me to share, Father, and not my own words, Lord, but the words of God, that it would encourage the hearts that hear today. We love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That song this morning, I was going to pick it, Nate, but I didn't think we knew it, so thank you for picking that. And Joseph, thanks for leading that song, 277. There's a line that caught my attention there this morning before we get into what I wanted to share. That was a blessing to me. I think it's the last one. He pointed to the nail prints. For me, his blood was shed. A mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. And I know sometimes we think about that. We wonder, what did he really see in humanity? And what he saw. And as I think the scripture has said, he looked forward for the joy that was set before him. He was able to endure that cross. He saw blood-washed saints, if I may use that phrase. People that have been washed in the blood of Christ, their sins have been forgiven, worshiping him on this earth. That's what he saw. So this morning, I thought I asked the Lord for a simple message, something that would encourage your heart this morning. And for a title of my message, I titled it, The Check Engine Light. I heard that that's the mechanic's worst nightmare and the owner of the vehicle's best friend. Because those of us who are mechanically delinquent, you might say, we like that light because it pops on when there's a problem. But the mechanics say that sometimes they take the bulb out of that thing because people keep bringing the thing back and there's really nothing wrong with it. But we like that light because it helps us to keep our vehicles on the road. So I titled that message that it because I want to talk about maintenance in our Christian life this morning. For just a brief opening, I won't take too long, take any time away from our Brother Earl today. Well, my thoughts were, as you purchase a brand new car, you go to the car lot and you purchase the brand new car right off the lot, and you take this thing home and you realize that regular maintenance is needed to keep this vehicle running, to get the proper longevity out of the vehicle, the proper mileage out of the vehicle. So you bring it home and you put a board, some people put the mileage they started, and then the next oil change, and the next, they go on that. I know my father-in-law is a very, very precise at when he gets his oil changed in his vehicles. I'm not so sure he'll drive it 1 mile past the time that it's time to change it. I don't do that quite that good. But I thought about, let's suppose that someone bought a vehicle, and he purchased this vehicle, and he didn't see the importance of a scheduled maintenance, such as an oil change, checking the fluids, and other basic maintenance. And he just drove it every day, not taking into consideration that it needed maintenance. One day, while traveling down the highway, this vehicle just simply stops working. And he takes it to the mechanic. And then the mechanic says, it's blew up. The engine's locked. You can't go anywhere anymore. It's ruined. So in his amazement, he goes back to the dealership and he tells the dealer, I only got 25,000 miles out of this new vehicle. What's wrong? Well, the dealership will have you ever check the oil. There's no oil in the engine anymore. Well, he said, well, I didn't really realize that was that important. And I'm using this radical illustration to illustrate in our own Christian lives sometimes, and we'll get to the scripture that I want to get to, but in our own Christian lives, I think sometimes that check engine light comes on in our spiritual lives. There's something wrong, and we just ignore it. We ignore it. And to the owner of this vehicle, utter disappointment, he lost a vehicle. He lost however many thousands of dollars that he invested in this thing, and he had to buy a new one. For us, it's not quite that small of a loss. In our spiritual lives, when we ignore that check engine light, when we ignore the warning signs that God says there's something wrong, and he knocks on our heart, and we ignore it. We were talking about the conscience the other morning with our family, and we were talking about how important it is to listen to the voice of God. I told my children, and I said this, I'm not sure if I'm 100% right, but I said that I think I'm right. Every time that you're tempted to do something wrong in your life, there's a subconscious moment where you have a chance to say no. You have a chance to say, I don't have to do that. God gives you an opportunity to walk away from it. However, if you ignore that opportunity and you do it, and the next time you do it even sooner, and the more you do that, the quieter that voice comes and the shorter that subconscious moment is to where God is hardly able to touch you anymore, and you all of a sudden you find yourself lost. And if you don't repent and turn away from it, apparently you'll stand before God, unfortunately, on the day of judgment with your check engine light on in your spiritual life, and you'll come up short. And we don't want that in our lives. And God doesn't want that. So in tenderness, he sought you to live out your life on this earth according to his will, so that in the end, we can truly hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So for some reason, that's what I thought of on the area of maintenance, on the physical sense, our vehicles. We maintenance our vehicles, and we take good care of them because we like to get the best mileage out of them. But in our spiritual lives, sometimes maybe we don't quite think it's as important to heed to those small little nudges that the Lord is touching our life. And I used this illustration before, and maybe I said it here, and I don't remember for sure. But an iron worker, working at a steel factory, the first day of his job, he can't touch that hot metal. But the longer he goes, the easier it is for him to be able to touch somewhat hot metal with his bare hands, because he starts getting callous to it. So let's not ever let our hearts and minds get calloused to conviction, calloused to the conscience. And I want to be alert in my own heart to listen to that voice, to simply do what it takes on a daily basis to keep my life current, keep it, as we said there, verses this morning, keep it in the love of God. So in your Bibles, if you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. I'll read them and briefly comment on a few of the verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, starting in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Backing up to verse 3, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has truly equipped us with everything that it takes to live the Christian life on this earth. And that's a beautiful promise. That's something so beautiful that we realize that as a Christian, you're giving everything that it takes. You know, you buy something that comes apart in 100 pieces, and in that box, it contains an object that is not put together yet, but everything is in that box to put together a beautiful object, whatever it may be. And that's the Christian life. You know, you're not the perfect holy saint that can be taken completely out of context. We grow in Christ. We're completely perfect as a newborn babe in Christ. But there's a walk. There's a life to live. There's growth to be had in our lives. There's things that the Lord convicts us on a daily basis that we need to keep growing in. But the beautiful part is that he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of every living thing. He give that to you. There's no scheme or tactic that the devil can use that God doesn't have an answer for in our lives. He can't put anything into our path that God doesn't have a way out for us, a way forward. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, just a continuation of that by these ye could be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that word divine nature caught my attention, that something that God puts within a person, within a Christian, is his divine nature. This Bible says that we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed that liveth, I don't have the verse exactly right, but something that of the Spirit of God. When we're born of the Spirit of God, God puts something within us that helps us live the Christian life on this earth. It's of his Holy Spirit. And as I was pondering this morning, I thought of an airplane on the runway. And I thought of the passengers inside the jet. Then I thought of a group of people on the outside of the jet desiring to be lifted off into the air. But the airplane takes off down the runway and it climbs up. And these people start running down the runway expecting to do the same thing. Well, they can't because they're not in the airplane. So in Christ is the key for us to have spiritual growth. We need to have that divine nature within us in order to live our Christian lives on this earth and to be victorious, to escape that corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's a joyful state of being, to have escaped that corruption, to have lost the burden and bondage of sin. If you're born again in here this morning, you know what it's like. You know what the previous toil of laboring and sin, not wanting to do it anymore, but you're bound. That's a bondage. The devil wants to make you think it's fun, but it's not. There's turmoil. And if your life is that this morning, I know on the surface you might look like you're happy and joyful, but at nighttime when the lights are out and everything's quiet, you're miserable. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be, because in tenderness he's seeking you this morning. And he wants to take that burden of sin away and set your feet upon a path of Jesus Christ. So don't try to run down the runway to get your spiritual feet off the ground. Get in the plane. Be in Christ. Be partakers of that divine nature. Verse 5. It says, give all diligence to add to your faith. And I had to think of that this morning. That caught my attention. Give all diligence. We are diligent about adding things to our life that are important to us. You can't escape that this morning. If you're a human being, you are going to add things to your life that are important to you. And if it's the things of God, it will be the things of God. But if it's the things of this world, it will be the things of this world. But in this context, in your Christian life, if you want to keep your life maintained in the will of God, it's telling you diligently add these things to to your Christian life. So if it's important to you, if Christianity, if holiness, godliness is important to you, then diligently add these things to your life. And the first thing that we are called to add to us, and we just briefly look at a few of those attributes or whatever you want to call them, those building blocks in our Christian life. The first one is called virtue. Virtue is telling us to add to our faith virtue. And that is, I looked some of these things up, and it's simply a moral excellency or a high moral standard. Just simply, I want to be true. I want to be honest. I want to be have a pure heart towards God. I don't want any sin there, any compromise in my life. So have virtue in your life, that when people can look at you, they know that this is an honest person. This man cares about a high moral standard in his life. He cares about that for the sake of the glory of God, not being tainted in his Christian life. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is spiritual truth. It's very important for us to add spiritual truth to our lives so that we can better understand how to walk the Christian life. Ignorance is not bliss in Christianity. We need to grow in the Lord. We need to learn of His Word. And by doing that, reading, spending time with God. And we spend time with the things we love. And I know that I have no problem, no issue whatsoever spending time with my wife. I love her. I've been married for almost 20 years, and getting up in the morning and spending quality time with her, it's a blast. I mean, there's nothing greater on earth. So I also enjoy spending time with the Lord. So I think you're getting my point. We spend time with the things that are important to us. And it's important to do that to maintain our Christian lives. And the next one is temperance. Temperance is self-control. And we don't have to necessarily explain that. That's very self-explanatory. Self-control in our lives is a very important thing. And I didn't have any biblical examples. I was trying to think of one briefly this morning, but didn't come up with one. But there's many examples of people that they want it here and they want it now. And there was a study done there's a college did a study on some little 4-year-old girls. I don't know why they picked girls, but they took a bunch of, I forget how many, but they took a bunch of 4-year-old girls and they sat them in a room. And they sat a dessert, I'm not sure if it was a donut or whatever, in front of these 4-year-old girls. And they said, girls, this donut is yours, but do not eat it until I come back. I'm going to be back in 15 minutes. If you wait to eat it until I come back, I'll give you another one. Well, they came back, and there was only a few little girls that said they're going to wait. So they did not eat their donut until 15 minutes later after the professors came back, and they got two of them. Well, they specifically followed these young girls' lives and the other ones that they did a study with. And if I remember the story right, these young girls that waited were they were disciplined. They were well-known in society. They functioned better in society than those ones that just quickly wanted that donut and they couldn't wait. So I think you get the point. Self-control is important. God wants us to have self-control. Paul says, I bring my body under. I will not be brought under the power of anything on this earth. I need help with that maybe in my life in some practical areas. I tend to enjoy maybe food and other things that I could use some more self-control in my life. So when that check engine light comes on in my life in that area, I want to take heed. The next one is patience. This is called endurance. It is important that we are willing to endure through good times and difficult times. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. So don't get impatient and try to run ahead of God. Abraham did that in his life and created quite a havoc. You know, he went in with Hagar. It was impatience in the will of God. So if you're ever in a place of you're not quite sure, just wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. I know I refer to my wife a lot when I am up here preaching. I think of our lives 21 years ago, and I had to be patient on God to bring her into my life. Patient. And it was hard. It was really hard. But had I not been patient, I told little Keystone one day, Had I done something different, you wouldn't be here. My children wouldn't be here. Life would look totally different. But the Lord gave me grace to be patient on His ways and His will. And because of that, I am beyond blessed with what I have. So praise God for that. I'm not always patient, but I was in that moment because I really, really wanted that her in my life. Okay. The next one is godliness. That is God-likeness, or to be like Jesus. And the only way that's possible is to have that divine nature. And I think of, sometimes I watch you younger children play, and I can see maybe, I guess I don't see it out here. I have already seen this where young boys are playing basketball and they want to be like LeBron James or Stephen Curry, and they idolize these people, so they do the best they can to try to play back. I did that kind of stuff, but these guys were not in my day. I idolized basketball, and I tried the best to be like Michael Jordan or the guys that I was looking up to in college basketball. We went to school the next morning. We said, he did this move, and he did that move, and we tried to do those kind of things, and of course, we weren't even nowhere near, but we were trying because we idolized these men. We wanted to be like them, but in Christianity, godliness can only come because Jesus Christ is who I idolize. I love Him. I want to be like Him. How would He want me to respond in this situation? How would He want me to live this life right now? It's Jesus. He controls my life. And that's the only way that we can have godliness, is if we have that divine nature. Brotherly kindness is the love for my brother. To have that, to have a love for our brethren. Charity. Make sure I got these in order here. Yeah, charity is the last one, is to have an agape love. And it's a love that passeth all knowledge. In Ephesians 3:19, it says a love that passeth knowledge is the type of love that we should have and that we should add to our faith and to our lives in this Christian walk. Verse 8, it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I read this verse many times in my Christian life in the past 21 years. And I always fell short here. I always, like, this is not me. Like, I'm not really, I always thought this was a person that is way up there beyond reach. But it's not really that, that's not really the case. That if you're concerned about maintaining your Christian life and your walk with God, this will be you. It's not that you'll never make a mistake or stumble or do things wrong, but your active relationship with Jesus Christ will instantly get you back on track and keep you in the love of God. So if these things are in you and abounding, they're making you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be quick. We need to be quick to take our spiritual motors to the mechanic, to Jesus Christ, when that check engine light comes on. When God does something, when he touches an area of our life, we have to be quick. But if you lack these things, the Bible says you're blind and can't see afar off and have forgotten that you're purged from your old sins. The first step, I think, is just realizing that you've been purged, you've been washed from a burden of sin, and get back on track and grow. In verse 10, 9 and 10, verse 10, it says, but wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And that's beautiful. If we keep our lives in the love of God, we'll never fall. We'll never be in a place of failure, if I might put it that way. The Lord will be, our relationship with Christ will constantly be active. And I had one last illustration in closing. We started sourdough, and you can put sourdough on the countertop, and you can leave it in that can for years and years and years and years. I think the starter that we bought was over 120 years old, I think. I forget exactly. But it has, there's a condition upon that. Every day, you have to take a little bit out, and you got to add a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you got to stir it every single day. If you forget to do that for about 3 days, it's over. You lost everything. You lost that entire 120-year-old starter. So it's important that our lives are maintained and that we stay focused, we stay connected, and we stay current in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening. And if there's anything that I shared that wasn't according to God's word, please come talk to me. May God bless you.